Welcome to LA Radio Sessions. I'm your host, Mike Stark. LA Radio Sessions, it's where we explore all areas of pop culture, broadcasting, podcasting, and webcasting from the beautiful LA Radio Studio overlooking the LA Harbor at Portsacall Village in Los Angeles, California. All right, we're going to have a good time tonight. Unlike most of the artists that come on LA Radio Sessions, tonight's performer came in like 3 hours early. We went over to the bar, we hung out together, and got to know each other a little bit, so it's going to be a great night. And we're going to start with a tune from him. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the LA Radio Session stage, Solomon King.
Take my house, take my car, yeah baby, take my credit cards too. Take my shirt, take my suits, take my soft and my shiny boots, 'cause I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing. I got my baby. I got my baby's love. I got my baby's love. Take my CDs. Take my TV. And take my mama's recipes, put them all out on the street, sell them down at your Sunday swap meet, 'cause I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing at all. Oh, I don't need nothing. I got you, baby. I got my baby's love. I got you, baby. So put me out to sea without a boat. Put me in a tree without a rope. Call me a failure. Call me a fool. Hold me up to ridicule. Well, I don't need nothing. I don't need nothing at all. Oh, I don't need nothing, 'cause I got my baby. I got my baby's love. I got my baby's love. I got my baby's love. I got my baby's love.
Ladies and gentlemen, Solomon King. How are you, my friend?
Life is a very, very beautiful thing, especially after those 3 hours at the bar before the show.
If I remember what you said correctly, you wrote that song last night.
You know, I lied to you.
Oh, okay.
There were three songs that I wrote for this show, and I hope we can get to them later. Because
okay.
When we found out I was going to do the show, I didn't really have any material to do, so I wrote a bunch of songs. But this song in particular it just kind of came to me at the last moment that this song is on my new record, Train.
Oh, okay.
So I thought, you know, I'm going to play that song first because I really do know that song. And I've played it before.
And the name of that record is?
The name of the record is Train.
And the song?
I don't know. What's the title of that song? My Baby's Love, I think.
My
is
baby,
that one on there?
My Baby's Love.
Yeah, that's on there.
It.
My Baby's Love.
And as long as we're talking about the new CD, I always like to start things off with some plugs. So, folks, if you like what you hear tonight, and I'm pretty sure you're going to, you've got CDs for sale at your website, which is?
www.SolomonKingMusic.com. So, you know, just think of King Solomon and music, and it's all O's in Solomon, in case you're curious about that. It's S-O-L-O-M-O-N.
And some other guy must have had SolomonKing.com.
Well,
how do you like that?
Yeah, there are other pretenders to the throne, but...
But you're the real deal.
I've been called worse.
I gotcha.
I'm willing to sell it, Mike.
Okay. Oh, you're willing to sell it, yeah. What we do on this show is we like to find out as much as we can about an artist, and we're going to have you do those songs that you wrote last night.
Yeah, I want to, because that'll be living really, really dangerously to do a song which I don't even know these songs yet. If you guys are in the radio audience, if you can imagine this, we're sitting here in this studio, and I've got like all these sheets of yellow legal paper, which are all scribbles from what I did last night, thinking, oh, I'm going to do this radio show today. I better have some songs. So we've got them taped up to the back of chairs because there's no music stands here, and I don't know the songs. So later on, we're going to get to... If you listen to this show, you'll be the very first people to ever hear these songs, including ourselves.
How awesome is that? Well, I want to find a little bit about you. Where did you grow up? Where did you where was the birthplace of Solomon King? That sounds so
Detroit,
Michigan.
Detroit, yes,
great
sir.
great music town, and. Your early musical influences were?
Growing up in Detroit, we had great, great stuff in every genre. You know, of course, Motown. And when I was 12 years old, I was a dancer on the Motown shows.
Really?
I really was. I was one of those little kids back there doing the Froog and the Boogaloo. And one show in particular, the Supremes, were on the show.
Okay.
And... The Supremes wore these wonderful skin-tight sheath dresses.
Right.
And one of the girls, Mary, she totally ripped out the back of her dress. And it was like they had to go on with the show. The whole back was ripped out. So there was her bare ass there. And you couldn't have that on TV. So they signaled me, you, white kid over here, you stand behind Mary and Boogaloo. So... That was my introduction to black women.
Yeah, well, that's doesn't get much better than that.
It was a good sight.
Yeah,
it was a beautiful sight.
Absolutely. So what caused you initially to get into music and go that direction, I guess?
You know, man, there's like old photographs of me when I was like 3 years old, and I got a Mickey Mouse guitar. So, you know, sometimes you're just called or you're just stuck with something, and that's just what you're going to do from the beginning.
Okay. And when you grew up a little older and you were maybe a teenager, what sort of music were you listening to then?
Oh, by that time, it was all the great, great rock and roll stuff was happening. You know, Jimi Hendrix and Stones and the Beatles and Cream and Paul Butterfield used to come through town. I'd see Butterfield. A lot of people came through Detroit. Iggy and the Stooges. Iggy was a huge influence on me.
Sure.
Great, great performer.
I have to ask you, being from Detroit, we had a documentary filmmaker on a few months ago who did a documentary on the Grandy Ballroom. Did you ever get a chance to go to the Grandy Ballroom?
I was underage, but I snuck in, yeah, lots of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and anybody that remembers the Grandy Ballroom wasn't there.
Yeah. Okay, so lots of influences. You tend to be kind of a bluesy guy. Well, obviously, the Butterfield Blues Band was part of that influence. Jimi Hendrix, certainly blues-based in his approach. Any other blues artists that sent you in that direction?
All of them. You know, Magic Sam, Luther Allison. I got a chance to play with Luther Allison when I was in Detroit. And then when I came to L.A., I met Etta James and got to hang out with her quite a bit.
Sweet.
Yeah. And so those influences always, always, always.
When did you start playing music? Well, beyond the Mickey Mouse guitar.
You know, I always played, but it really wasn't until like 2008, I think.
That, really?
Yeah, that I came to putting a lot of distractions aside and really decided I was going to really play music and find my own voice and do that type of thing.
So had you played any music prior to that?
Yeah, I mean, I was always playing, but...
In bands and stuff?
You know, I was in bands and I was all that stuff, but it was kind of the Grandy Ballroom syndrome. I don't think I was really there, even though I was there. And then, you know, just with that Under the Sun record, that's when I got really focused and... for me, that's where what I'm doing now starts.
That's your first solo album, right?
Yeah, that's the first Solomon King record.
Okay, tell me about the Hollywood Royals.
Calista Carradine. David Carradine is her daddy. And Keith and, you know, that whole family, that's her family. And the reason why it's Hollywood Royals is because the Carradine family is, you know, royal Hollywood family.
Gotcha.
And Solomon King, you know, another royalty. So
all the royalties in one band. How do you like that?
And there are some great players in that band, too. We only did those one session and four recordings, but we had the keyboard player who played with Guns N' Roses, and we had Johann Franck on guitar with me. Great, great guitar. A lot of really special people for that session. And Calista Carradine is singing. So that's also on the website.
And you played guitar,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I play guitar, and Calista and I wrote the songs for that.
Let's play a Hollywood Royals song. Hit it, Kevin.
Yeah.
That is the Hollywood Royals featuring our guest tonight, Solomon King.
And Calista Carradine, you know, let's give her a little credit.
Absolutely.
There. And a lot of great people on that record.
Right. Now, the song is called Suicide.
Yes, sir.
And that is about?
Well, Calista and I got together shortly after her dad's suicide. And that's what the song is about. Calista wanted to express some of the things that she was feeling after all that. So she wrote, well, we wrote, but, you know, Calista wanted to bring forward her, how she felt about her dad's suicide. And there's the song, Suicide.
And you co-wrote the lyrics with her?
Everything, yeah. Music, lyrics. We, you know, we sat down together over several cocktails, and we wrote three, four things, and went into the studio, and the result of it is recorded history now.
And this came after the release of your first solo album,
right,
which was Under the Sun,
right.
And so, what happened to the Hollywood Royals? How did that?
We have very combustible personalities in that band.
as is the case in many bands, you know, that's not a...
But Calista and I, we still talk.
Still hang?
Oh, yeah, we still hang. In fact, we did something, I don't know, several months ago, and I swore I'd never work with her again, and she felt the same way about me. But we love each other, and we will. We will.
That's good. Okay. How about breaking out one of those songs you wrote for the show today?
Oh, wow. Okay, let's break out a song that I wrote for the show. Just to clue the audience in, this song was written last night. I only found out that we were going to do this show yesterday afternoon, quite by accident. And I normally do not do, I'm sitting here with an acoustic guitar, and I normally don't do any stuff like that and really don't have a lot of material prepared for it, but you wanted me to come in and play acoustic guitar, so I said, okay, let's do it. And since I didn't have any material, I said, well, I better write some stuff. So I wrote this one. How went down to the boardwalk, yeah, with my suitcase in my hand, my young life was so troubled, it was more than I could stand. I went down to the boardwalk, yeah, where she looked at me so cold and hard. She said, boy, see, you've been traveling, but you ain't come too far. So I went down to the boardwalk, yeah. My spirit separate from my soul, and I cried a wailing song. Lord, I can't find my way back home. So I went down to the boardwalk, yeah, with my heart on my sleeve, and I'm leaving in the morning when that new day purifies me. When that new day, it purifies me.
You heard it first here on LA Radio Sessions. Do you have a name for that song yet?
No.
Okay.
So if anybody's got a name for that song, send us an email or call us, or and you can name that song.
There you go. That was awesome, Solomon.
You like that?
Yeah.
I hope a couple other million people feel the same way.
That was great. Well, we don't know what it's called, but it was a great song, and we'll have you break out another one in a little bit. But let's go back to your history. So you made Under the Sun in 2008, and your bio says that—
Maybe it was 2000. I mean, I was nominated for a Grammy for that, I think, 2009 or 2010.
Well, so then you made it in 2008,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
But it says it came after you, and I quote, emerged from a chaotic underworld. Do you want to elaborate about the chaotic underworld?
Nah, man. I mean, you know, I went through a period where I was pretty— can I use the word fucked up on this
show?
Yeah. You know, I was fucked up. I was in the wrong places, pursuing the wrong things.
Gotcha.
And
enough said.
Yeah.
Enough said. When did you come out to L.A.? Where does that fit into the timeline?
Oh, well, we were talking about that at the bar, and I don't remember the exact year, but my friend Doug Feiger from the Knack.
Right.
We grew up around the block from one another, and Doug was already in California, and he said, you know, you ought to come to California. I said, okay, I will. So he came back to Detroit, and I had an old Karmann Ghia, and we jumped in that Karmann Ghia, and we drove cross-country to L.A., and, you know, Doug Feiger and the Knack, that became huge, huge history, and life is going on. Yeah. Doug isn't here, but I am to tell the story.
There you go. Okay, Under the Sun, produced by Sylvester Rivers.
Now, there's a great, great talent, Sylvester Sly Rivers, one of the original Motown arranger producers. This guy worked with everybody, the Supremes, the Temps, the Four Tops. And Sylvester and I had known one another for quite a while, and, you know, we'd kind of talked about maybe doing something, but in my chaotic state, Sylvester really wasn't interested in working with me. But when I came out of that chaotic state, I started playing a little bit around L.A., and Sylvester came and saw one of my shows and went, yeah, let's do a record. And we did, yeah.
Awesome. And from that album, you had a video, if I read this correctly, called Jack Me Up that got banned on YouTube. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this kind of goes back to the Phil Spector story, which we haven't talked about yet. But when we were doing the Jack Me Up video, the director, Roy Karch, who was a porno director, he brought in Stormy Daniels to be the dancer in the Jack Me Up video.
Okay.
So, I mean, for all you guys and gals out there who are into porno, and if you know who Stormy Daniels is, she's pretty, what's the word? She's hot. So as part of the Jack Me Up video, which is all about, well, you can get your own interpretation. I never like to tell anybody what a song is about, but Stormy Daniels was stripping in this video, Jack Me Up.
Right.
And she stripped down a little bit farther than YouTube was comfortable. And they pulled it off.
So it's nobody can see it anywhere.
You can. It's on Vimeo because Vimeo does not have the same type of authoritarian. yeah. So Vimeo, it's on there, and you can, if you go to my website, there's a link that you can click on to get the Vimeo version. Yeah.
And the website, again, is SolomonKingMusic.com. Got to get the plugs in all the
just,
time.
You know, and if anybody does go to the site, send me an email, you know, and I respond. Big reason why I do this is because I love what I do, and I love the people, and, you know, without the people being part of it, life is really boring, so... Send me something.
There you go. All right. We're going to get into this Phil Spector business in a second. But you had a couple songs that ended up in True Blood, right?
Yeah, True Blood.
Jack Me Up and Frankie and Johnny.
Yep, both on the Under the Sun record. Should we talk about this or just like leave it there?
Yeah, if you got something to tell us about it.
Okay, so I got this music agent, this woman, Meg Marriott, who's a lovely woman, and she gets music placed in TV shows and film. And we were in a conversation, and I sent her some stuff, and sent her some music, and I never heard from her again. And anybody that's in the music business, or you know, almost any business, you can relate to that.
That's right.
And a year later, I get a call from Meg Marriott going, you know, there's this new show, and it's called True Blood, and they want to use a couple of your songs. And this is before the show had gone on. I said, okay. She said, what's it about? She said, well, it's a vampire show. I said, okay, cool. And my next question was, do they pay? And Meg said, yeah, they pay really well. I said, put the stuff on. Great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the show turned out to be like a huge, huge hit. And so Solomon King's got a couple.
Excellent.
Yeah, excellent.
That is excellent. Now, how does that work in terms of getting paid? Do they pay you a flat rate and that's the end? Or do you get residuals of some kind down the line? Or how does that work?
As a performer, you get a flat rate. But as a writer and publisher, those checks keep coming in. And since I am the writer and the publisher on those songs, there's a nice little quarterly surprise.
Well, that's excellent.
That's excellent. Yeah, we love to get money. I got nothing against that.
And nowadays, in the way the music business is structured, that's one of the primary ways people, musicians, can make money is to get placed in films and commercials and things like that, right?
You know, if we're going to get on the subject of how musicians make money in this day and age, I haven't the faintest idea.
Well, that's the right spirit to have, and that's when the money will come, when you have that sort of spirit.
Well, we're blessed, and great things happen, and we try and do the right things, and the blessings come.
All right, let's talk about this Phil Spector business. You are not only a musician, but you are an actor, a thespian.
I've been called worse, yeah.
And long before Al Pacino took on the role of Phil Spector, you took on the role of Phil Spector in a film called The Phil Spector Incident, right?
That is correct.
Tell us about that.
Okay, so I live in Los Angeles, and I live in Los Feliz, which is near the Greek Theater, if anybody knows it. It's like this little kind of pockety neighborhood, and unlike most of Los Angeles, you can walk over there, and there's little restaurants and cafes. So I'm sitting at this cafe having a coffee at some time in the early morning or late, I don't know when it was, and my friend James Trivers, who also lives in the neighborhood, is a great writer, and he's written movies and books, and James and I have known each other for a long time, and he walks by, and I'm sitting at the cafe, and he sits down, and we have coffee, and the L.A. Times, somebody's got an L.A. Times, and it's talking about Phil Spector, that, there'd been a shooting at the mansion and all that stuff, and as it so happened, I was at the House of Blues the previous night. And, you know, I saw Specter at the end of the night. I saw him go into the limo.
Whoa.
You know, that was the last I saw of him. And then here's this news that there's a murder. So James Trivers and I start talking about this. And James says, oh, man, this has got to be a movie. And I'm going to write it. So I said, okay, write it. So then he wrote it, and you know, he consulted with me on the script because, you know, I knew a lot of the people and the whole music business scene, and I did not know Specter, but I knew a lot of the people we worked with, and so when it was all said and done, you know, got all this stuff together and said, "You got to play Specter." I said, okay, I'll play Specter, and we did.
Had you done any acting prior to that?
No.
Okay. And that film, by the way, is also available at your website for download. You can purchase it, correct?
Yeah, there's something weird about the distribution of it, but go to the website, and you can follow the link, and you can. There's a collector's CD, DVD, a double disc set that you can purchase. And if you don't want to do that, you can download the album or download the movie. And then if you don't want to do that, you can stream it. So whatever the means are that you want to see it.
And the CD that's in this package is you, right?
Yeah, because I wound up doing the soundtrack for the movie, too.
Great. And yeah. We're going to listen to... you couldn't use Phil Spector's music in the movie, and you couldn't even use this song that we're going to play in the movie, but you recorded a Phil Spector song in hopes of having it in the movie?
I recorded it with the idea that it would be in the movie.
Okay.
And then the ABCO publishers refused to allow anything in any of the music that they owned, which is the Phil Spector catalog, in this movie or... I don't know about any other movie,
I don't think there was any music in the other one as well. Well, we're going to listen to Solomon King's version of Be My Baby.
The night we met, I knew I needed you so. And if I had the chance, I'd never let you go. So won't you say you love me? I'll make you so proud of me. We'll make them turn their heads everywhere we go. So come on and please. Be my little baby. Say you'll be my darling. You're my baby now. Oh, 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 oh. I'll make you happy, baby. Wait and see. For every kiss you give me, I'll give you three. From the day I saw you, I have been waiting for you, and I will adore you till eternity. So won't you please be my little baby? Say you'll be my darling, my baby now. Be my little baby. Say you'll be my darling, my baby now. Won't you please be my little baby? Say you'll be my darling, You're my baby now. Be my little baby. Say you'll be my darling. You're my baby now.
Solomon King and Be My Baby. Great version of that, Solomon.
Yeah, man. And before we move on, I want to do a shout-out to Marvin Etzioni, who was the producer on that record, because Marvin was a huge Phil Spector fan, and together he was a huge influence on making this record sound the way it sounds. A very, very adventurous and brave producer to produce, first off, a Phil Spector song, which is The Wall of Sound.
Sure.
And then we did it with just guitar and drums.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, great, Martin.
Good stuff. Now, that's available on the double disc collector's edition, but it's also on your album Medicine, right?
Yeah, that's the record that Marvin produced. And this is an extraordinary record. It's just guitar and drums. That's it.
The whole
record is
okay.
Just guitar and drums.
And of course, this and all of Solomon's stuff is available at SolomonKingMusic.com. Can't say that enough. Go out and help him out, man. Buy his stuff, okay?
Yeah. Anybody that wants like 10,000 CDs or downloads or something, we'll cut you a deal. So
that's good. Yeah. So we'll close out the Phil Spector thing. The Phil Spector movie was basically a movie about the incident that took place that night. Conjecture on your part and conjecture on the part of the writer, but you tried to imagine what it was like that night in that mansion at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, based on everything that we knew about how these things go down and all our own experiences and, you know, the music business and yaddy daddy yaddy, we really thought this was what happened in that hour and 15 minutes from the time that Spector and Lana Clarkson came back from the House of Blues, were in Spector's mansion,
right,
playing their games, and then the gun went off. So
Gotcha. The
movie is about the games that go on from the time they walk in the door to the time the gun goes off.
Can I get you to do another tune?
Okay, another one of these that I wrote last night?
Of course. The first one was so awesome.
Let's see if we can replicate that. This is my shout-out to everybody out there who's listening and maybe even not listening. Well, hello, all you poets. Who chew on stones and hello all you painters who work in flesh and bone hello all of you dancers with your slippers hanging from the power lines my brothers and my sisters of the lost tribe. So hello all of you old ones who shine on in the night. And hello all of you children who've come to see the light. Hello, all of you wanderers who seek but do not find. My brothers and my sisters of the Lost Tribe. So at the rainbow's end, in a house of dreams, we will meet again. On the gentle sea, and we'll laugh to remember how we cried. My brothers and my sisters of the lost tribe.
Wonderful. Wrote that last night.
Yeah, last night. Well, I had to have something to play today, so
that's amazing. Let's talk about the writing process. How do you go through a writing process? Obviously, this stuff came to you relatively quickly to be able to prepare it for tonight. But is there a process you go through in the way you write songs?
Yeah, man, I hate to work, so I generally only write stuff if I need it. So if like I got a show or a record or like this radio show, I go, oh man, I better write something. I need something new, so I'll sit down and write it. You know, I jot down notes all the time and stuff and get little ideas, but to actually get me to focus and write a song, I got to have some reason to do it.
You got to have a deadline or a purpose.
I do. Otherwise, I just, you know, like we did before the show, I just spend all the time hanging out in the bar looking at the ocean and beautiful women.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Of course, there's inspiration in all of that.
Well, there is. So, you know, and that's how we write off all these things, right, too. My tax return says inspiration.
All right. Your latest album is Train. How long has that been out? And
it's not out.
It's not out?
No.
When's it coming out?
Well, I don't know. I'm in discussions with a distributor right now.
Okay.
So I didn't want to put it out till I found a distributor that I wanted to work with.
Okay.
And, you know, that's another interesting story that we could either talk about or not. But until all that business stuff is put together, it's not officially out. But if you go to my website, then you can buy it directly from me, but it's not on CD Baby or iTunes or whatever they all are out
right
there. Nothing's out there.
So you handed me a copy of it. So you have actually yourself put it all together, packaging, all of that.
Oh yeah, you know, that's, so, in this day and age, that's not hard to do.
Right, and I also mentioned, if you go to his website, he is a very generous guy. He gives away music.
Yeah, you know, come by and, you know, if you just want to listen to stuff, you could listen to whatever you want to. If you want to buy some stuff, that would be better.
And you got a couple downloads, free downloads.
Yeah, you can get some free downloads. Yeah. And if you want physical discs, I know they're becoming kind of dinosaurian this day and age, but nice to have.
Well, you know, us old guys, we want to have something to look at and hold in our hands and read the liner notes and all that stuff. So, you know.
And there's some great artists that participated in making all this happen. So I wouldn't put out anything that I didn't think that you would enjoy buying and having.
Well, we're always running short of time. So let's play a cut off of Train. Let's hear Coffee Song.
Baby's coffee, it would raise the dead. Hot coffee, coffee in bed. Now, every morning when the sun come up, my baby bring me coffee and she pour it in a cup. She say, come on baby, rise and shine. Make me glad that you're mine, all mine. Hot coffee in the morning time. But don't you know, coffee goes cold. Coffee goes cold. Hot coffee in beer. My baby's coffee go right to my head. Hot coffee in bed. A little bit of sugar, a little bit of cream. She never ever uses no machines, no percolator, no French press. I don't know how she do it, but her coffee is the best. Hot coffee in the morning time, don't you know? Every morning it's all so good. Must be a secret recipe. My baby's got it. My baby's got it. Hot coffee in the morning time. Don't you know? We start a loving. Oh, baby, that coffee goes cold. Coffee go cold.
Oh, so cold.
Baby, let that coffee go cold.
From the yet-to-be-released, unless you go to SolomonKingMusic.com to buy it, from the yet-to-be-released Train LP, that, or CD, LP, I'm old school, that is a coffee song. Now, you were telling me while I was playing that that's another example of you were under a deadline, needed a song, coffee.
Yeah,
that's
how it was. You know, we were doing the record, and the night before the sessions, I realized I didn't have enough material for a record. So I wrote Coffee Song and brought it in, and I said, you know, nobody had heard the song before, but all my stuff is real, real simple. So I just, you know, said, here's how it goes, guys. And, we you know, I think second take, we got it, and that was the song.
And you had the ladies doing the call and response?
No,
and
you know,
you added that later.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Then we worked on it.
Okay,
you know?
All right, yeah, all right, yeah. All right. That sounded...
But I will tell you that the basic tracks are exactly as they were recorded.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I redid the vocals, you know, I listened to it and said, oh, those lyrics are terrible and that vocal's terrible. So,
right.
You know, we're still making records.
That's a funky record with like I said, with the ladies on it. Yeah, that's good. Good stuff. So that's Train. We're running down to the end here. Again, you're playing in Hawaii in November, right?
Yeah, I'm doing the Homegrown Festival on Kauai. I've got a couple other club dates on Kauai. I'm going to be on Honolulu as well and
Sweet.
Do some dates there. Yeah, life is very, very good for Solomon King.
There you go. And you do play locally. You're just not, you got nothing scheduled right now, but people can find out about any upcoming gigs at your website as well,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love to play, and I love the interactivity of being with people, because to me, making music is about bringing people together and all that stuff.
And do you have a touring band that you take out with you? Because as you mentioned, you don't normally do acoustic stuff. This is something we've been treated with, but you have a full band that goes out with you?
Yes and no. If the economics are there to take a band, I do. If not, I'll just use a band there. Like in Hawaii, I use the local guys.
Okay.
And they're great players. But all my material has been, I never rehearse bands, ever. So all of my material is just stuff that I get up on stage with the band and 1, 2, 3, play. So all my stuff is like 1, 2 chords so that anybody could play it, because I never know who's going to be on stage.
Kevin, it's like that Chuck Berry thing, you know. Chuck Berry shows up at a gig and expects everybody to have all their chops already. So you're sort of the same way.
Yeah, from that school. I mean, that's really the blues school, anyways.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So, anyway, you're an indie artist. Do you like being an indie artist, or would you like to be signed to a label?
What does that mean?
Well, what it means is that someone will market your music for you and distribute your music for you and all of that.
I'm all for people doing everything for me. Just, you know, put me on a chaise lounge and bring me a margarita. Fine.
I ask that of everybody because I get mixed responses. Most of the responses I get nowadays are, I am happy being an indie artist. I don't need the label meddling. I can distribute. I've got the internet. I can distribute. I can get involved in all of that. I don't need a record label.
You can't, okay? It depends on what level you want to do this on. But just the economics of scale is that if you want to reach several million people, the investment to reach several million people is pretty there, and you're not going to get away from it. So if you think, you know, I don't know, man, but if you really think that you're going to sit in your bedroom with a little home recording that you did on your computer and that you're going to reach millions of people with it, you're a better person than I am. Okay?
Having said that, you've got a beautiful package here, Train. Solomon King Train.
Yeah,
put together.
Well,
you didn't have a record label helping you.
No, I didn't have a record label, but you know, there's a lot of great people who contributed, from the musicians to the artists.
Gotcha.
It's a team of people, and it's an opportunity for all of us to put our talents together. And I'm, you know, my name's on it, but a lot of other people's names are on it too. And it's like this show. I mean, I could sit here by myself. That wouldn't be very much fun, but it's all of us being here creating this energy and this vibe. And that's life. That's why we do this.
Well, you have created a wonderful hour of music and conversation for this show. And I can't thank you enough for coming down. More. Well, and I want to let our audience in on a little something, too. It's even more than that, because I had a musician cancel on me yesterday. And not to say all musicians are flakes, but I had a musician cancel on me. And thanks to Solomon's publicist, Doug Deutsch.
Let's give him
a plug. He was able to talk Solomon into coming down and coming into this unknown world that he had no idea what was going to happen here. And I really can't thank you enough for taking the chance on us and coming down and doing the show.
Well, I'm having a great time. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. We're going to take it out with one final cut. What did we decide on?
Play Train.
Okay, we're gonna play the title track off of the album that you can get at SolomonKingMusic.com. The CD is called Train, and so go there, buy that, and buy everything else that's there. Help Solomon out and help him make more music. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We'll be right back.
What don't kill make us stronger. So I'm gonna hold on to you, baby, that much longer. And drink your poison every day while I'm down here at the station waiting for my train. So many calls, so few are chosen. Yet you claim that your door is open. But your gate is locked and chained. Well, I'm down here at the station waiting for my train. Maybe my soul has lost its way. But it's all of my love's in vain. I'm staying down here at the station, waiting for my train. Down here at the station, waiting for my train.